We are continuing our study in the book of Malachi. We're ending the book, actually, here. We're in the fourth chapter, and we're ready to begin at the fifth verse, and there are only two verses left. These two verses, verses 5 and 6, say, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Though the spirit of prophecy shall cease for a time, and you will have only the law to consult during that time, yet the spirit of prophecy will return again in one that shall be sent in the spirit and power of Elias." Luke 16:66. "The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Luke 1:13-17, speaking to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So all they had before John the Baptist were the law of Moses and the prophets. But John began to preach about the kingdom of heaven, which was the church. But before the kingdom of heaven, the church was established, men tried to enter it by force, even before it was ready to receive anyone. Actually, it was not until the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first sermon announcing the establishment of the kingdom, inviting people into the kingdom of heaven by repentance and baptism. This is when Peter first used the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which had been given him by Christ. Matthew 16:18-19, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, Matthew 11:12-15, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, for all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which is for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So this is another statement confirming the fact that men wanted to break into the kingdom or the church before it was fully prepared. But John the Baptist, the prophesied Elias, was to come first. And then the Messiah was to do his work here on earth and be crucified before the kingdom of heaven was to be established and receive those who had obeyed the gospel. So men cannot force the prophecies of God to come to pass before their time. God does not change his time to suit man's desires. It is important for us to understand when these prophecies were to take place. During the time when John and Christ were preaching, one jot or one tittle were not to be removed from the law. Matthew 5:17-19, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So the law and the prophets were until John. They were the only lights for the people of God until that morning star appeared. During the time of Malachi, they had Moses and the prophets and could hear them anytime. But God will go further. He will send them Elijah. Who is this prophet that will be sent? It is Elijah. Some of the Jewish scholars, doctors of the law, insisted that it must be the same Elijah that prophesied in Israel during the days of Ahab. That it is he who shall come again to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Yet others say it is not the same person, but another person of the same spirit. It seemed that these thoughts were in their minds when they asked John, "Art thou Elias, or that prophet that should bear his name?" John 1:19-21, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. We may ask, why did John deny that he was Elias or Elijah? The answer seems to be that the question was asked in the sense of whether John was the literal Elijah. So John denies this because he was not the literal person of Elijah. When the angel spoke to John's father Zacharias, he quotes from our passage here in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. There in Luke 1 and 17, And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So notice, the angel specified that John the Baptist would come in the spirit and power of Elias. Not the literal Elias, but in the spirit and power of Elias. The sense of the priest and Levite's question was whether John was the literal Elias, so John denies this, and rightfully so. Rather than being the literal Elias, John was to be in the spirit and power of Elias. We Christians know very well that in that sense, John was the Elias that was to come. Matthew 17:10-13, And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall come first and restore all things, but I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So John never claimed to be the literal reincarnation of Elias, but he was Elias in that he was in the spirit and power of Elias. And Jesus gives us further teaching on this subject, Matthew 11:7-14. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Elijah was a man of great sternness and self-discipline who was zealous for God. He was very willing to point out sin and very active in trying to return the people to God and their duty. John the Baptist was moved by the same spirit and power. He preached repentance and reformation, just as Elijah had done. The Jews considered John to be a prophet, just as they did Elijah in his days. They believed his baptism to be from heaven and not of men. When God has such work to be done as in the days of Elijah, he can raise up such men to do it as he raised up Elijah to do it in the past, and he can put into a John the Baptist the spirit of Elijah. He says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Here we learn when John the Baptist would be sent. He would come before the appearing of the Messiah. It is called the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It is called that because it would be a time when the world would be judged and the sins of the Jewish nation would be spelled out. John the Baptist gave them fair warning of this when he told them of the wrath to come on the Jewish nation. 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16, For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them unto the uttermost. This wrath was hastening upon them, and John's work was to give them a way to escape from it. He told them of the fan in Christ's hand, with which Christ would thoroughly purge his floor. The day of Christ at his first coming was as that day will be when he comes again. We read in Matthew 3:7-12. This is speaking of John the Baptist. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is a sample of the message which John the Baptist gave to the people. This man, who was the first prophet in 400 years, who came with the spirit and power of Elijah, made it very clear that the first coming of Jesus Christ would be a day of judgment on the house of Israel, just as the second coming of Christ would be a day of judgment on the whole world. John was truly preparing the way for the Messiah. Though it be a great and joyous time for those who receive him, yet it will be a great and dreadful day to those who oppose him. John the Baptist was sent before the coming of the day to give people notice of it, that they might get ready for it and go forth to meet it. Just as today the apostles, through the New Testament, are giving us notice of another great and dreadful day of the Lord, so we can prepare for it and receive it with joy rather than sorrow. He says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." Here was the mission which John the Baptist was to accomplish. This will be the job of work for John to do. His doctrine of baptism shall have this goal in view, and with many he shall be successful. He shall be an instrument in God's hand used to turn many to righteousness. He would turn the people to the Lord their God, and thus make ready a people prepared for him. Luke 1:16-17, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The turning of souls to God and the work he has prepared for them, it is the best preparation for them to make for the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Do the work he wants you to do. This prophecy here in Malachi is a promise that John would take a bold stand against the great torrent of sin and unrighteousness, which he found in full force among the Jewish people of that day before the Messiah actually came. This is called his coming to restore all things. Matthew 17:11-12, he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. John also was to preach a doctrine which would reach men's hearts and have an effect upon them, which would bring about a change in them. God's word in his mouth shall be quick and powerful, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many had their conscience awakened by his ministry, who had not been aware of their true condition before John's ministry. Verse 6 again says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." These are the last words of the Old Testament, given here by Malachi the prophet, but repeated by an angel in Luke 1:17. Here in Malachi, he's concluding the law, but in Luke, he was beginning the gospel. So this phrase is very difficult to interpret and apply. This phrase may mean that John the Baptist will restore unity to the families of Israel, now divided into political factions, such as the conflict between the Herodians, who were the friends of Rome, and the Zealots, or Patriots, who were enemies of Rome. There was also religious factions, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees. Some even translate this verse to read that he will turn the heart of the fathers with the children, and the heart of the children with the fathers. That is, he will turn the hearts of fathers and children to do their duty. He shall call upon old and young together to repent. That is, the ministry of John shall apply to all ages. This is certainly a possible meaning of this passage. But it could also likely mean that John the Baptist would restore the broken relationship between the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their degenerate descendants. In Isaiah 29, 22-23, therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, but when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Again in Isaiah 63:16, doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Again in John 8:37-39, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Luke 1:17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It seemed that John the Baptist would be an instrument to revive and combine love and unity among kinsmen. But if John could get them to all follow the truth about the Messiah, they would all be brought closer, and this would bind them together by bringing and binding them all to their God. John the Baptist shall prepare the way for that kingdom of heaven, which will make all of its faithful subjects of one heart and one soul. Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. Ephesians 2:14, speaking of the Jew and Gentile, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There are consequences of not heeding the message of John the Baptist. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, he says. He is speaking of the land of Israel and the body of the Jewish nation. They, by their unrighteousness and lack of repentance, had laid themselves open to the curse of God. God was ready to smite them with that curse. It would bring utter ruin upon them. It would strike home. It would strike them dead. But he will yet once more try them and give them a chance to see if they will repent and turn, and so prevent disaster. Therefore he sends John the Baptist in the spirit and power of Elijah to preach repentance to them. This is so their conversion might prevent their destruction. This is how unwilling God is to have any to perish. This is how willing God is to have his anger turned away. Had they universally repented and reformed, their repentance would have had this desired effect. But as they rejected John's message by rejecting the Messiah, their land was smitten with the curse, which both they and the land lie under this day. Luke 7:29-30, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Let us remember, those must expect to be smitten with a sword, with a curse, who turn not to him who smites them with a rod. Isaiah 9:13-16, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So we see that now the axe is laid to the root of the tree, says John the Baptist. It is ready to be smitten, to be cut down with a curse. Therefore, John says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. He's talking about bringing forth fruits that are appropriate to repentance, fruits that reflect the fact that you have repented. And when repentance is done, there's a change made, a resolve is made not to commit the sin anymore. Some observe that the last word of the Old Testament is a curse which threatens the earth. We are made aware of this fact, that we may bid Christ welcome, who comes with a blessing. But we have the greatest blessings promised with the end of the New Testament. In Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:16-17, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's how the New Testament ends. And so we see that we're in a very great time of blessing. Now, the blessing is offered to us, just as John the Baptist offered a chance for those people to repent and receive the benefits of the Messiah. We have the same opportunity to repent and receive this benefits of the Messiah, the everlasting life. With this message of the New Testament, let us take on the armor of God that we may resist this curse. Romans 16:24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The book of Malachi is a pivotal book. At the time of Malachi's writing, over 2,000 years of Old Testament history since Abraham had concluded, and none of the glorious promises of the Abrahamic or Davidic or New Covenants had been fulfilled in the ultimate sense. Despite a few high points in Israel's history, such as Joshua, David, and Josiah, the Jews seemed determined to turn away from God's favor. Here, less than a century after returning from crushing captivity of the Babylonians, they were again deeply mired in sin. The long-anticipated Messiah had not arrived and did not seem to be in sight. But Malachi now writes the capstone prophecy of the Old Testament, in which he delivered, first of all, God's message of judgment on Israel for their continuing sin, and secondly, God's promise that one day in the future, when the Jews would repent, the Messiah would be revealed, and God's covenant promises would be fulfilled. And there he's talking about the church. The last prophetic words from the Old Testament still reveal hope in the coming of Christ the Messiah. Malachi speaks of two messengers, the messenger that will precede Christ, whom the Old Testament identifies as John the Baptist, and Christ himself, the messenger of the covenant. The book of Malachi closes the Old Testament and marks the beginning of 400 years of prophetic silence, which will be broken by John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.